At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game's guessing lines. Guessing lines for week number 17 in the National Football League. Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. Good morning to you, Wyatt.
Good morning, Gil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. We will get into all the games. If you're new to Guessing Lines, it's a throwback to the old Stardust radio show of the same ilk. I'm in a cocoon. I don't know the lines. The star of the show, the director of the South Point Sportsbook here at the tip of the strip here in Las Vegas, Chrissy Andrews, my mishbucha, will tell us what he's putting up at the end of the show on the actual betting board. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Gil. Good morning.
Hi. It's a very nice Steelers getup you have here.
After that game the other night, I had no choice. Very important game. As far as like non-playoff games, just the way everything worked out. And I saw Rocky Blyer interviewed. Yeah. Said, you know, if Franco had died a year ago or Franco died a year from now, this game would not have had the same significance. But he died 2 days before the game, 2 days before they're going to retire his number, the day before his the anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. And, you know, they had Raider guys there and some great film clips, you know, with – Franco and Phil Villapiano.
Yes.
I mean, great. Please go Google that at YouTube or whatever and find it. ESPN had a great segment. Those two became great friends after that play. It's really remarkable. But other than playoff games, Super Bowls, that was one of the most important games in the history of the Steelers, at least in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I have people in my life who are big Raider fans. And even at the end, I mean, they were – they wanted to win that game, believe me. They really want.
Well, but, you know, I was going to say, how many people after that result said either out loud or to themselves, there was no possible way Pittsburgh could have lost this game tonight?
You know, even that last drive.
Yeah.
And we needed a touchdown out of Kenny Pickett. They hadn't scored a touchdown all game. They're going to score. They're going to score here. They're going to win this game.
Everybody should be everybody should be so lucky to be a fan of a franchise, one of the great franchises. I always say the last day at RFK was one of the most significant games in Washington history as well. It's same field. This, obviously, the passing of one of the Steelers' greats. In your heart of hearts, did he catch the Immaculate Reception?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why would you even ask me that?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Would it have survived replay today? They wouldn't have had an angle on it back then. They had no angle.
And cameras are different.
After further review.
Okay. First of all, Frenchie touched the ball. First of all, let me explain the laws of physics to you. You do not catch a ball and miss it, and it bounces back 20 yards. That's not how you miss
that
a catch.
That is correct. That I will give you.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was a stupid rule anyway. I mean, they got rid of that rule. Two offensive players in a row can't touch them.
Yeah. That was such a stupid rule.
It's an idiotic rule.
You know what's funny? Yesterday, this has nothing to do with guessing lines, which we'll get to momentarily, but the end of the first half of the Bucks-Celtics game yesterday, the Bucks were catching three in the first half, and they were going right around the number back and forth like a bunch of times. And then literally at the end, Jaylen Brown got fouled on a three. And he missed all three free throws, and the Bucks got the cover, which was an unbelievable thing. Yeah. And I thought to myself, it's like, how many times, Wyatt is a Bucks fan, how many times has anyone ever missed all three free throws, getting back to your like rule about how two people couldn't touch the ball on offense in the NFL back then? And I remember when I was super young, like not even, I can't even say a kid, like I, my distant, most distant memory, when we were kids, those players used to get three to make two.
Three to make two.
And they used to miss three all the time.
Yeah, I can remember, I'm about 99.9% sure it was Julius Erving one time.
Yeah.
Went to the line for the cover, not for the win.
Yeah.
And missed all, and I was working at the Stardust, so 1979. Guys lined up to cash their ticket, and Dr. J missed all three.
Jeez.
All right. Anyway, back to the Steelers. Yeah. It was a huge game, and like I said, even the Raider fans in my life couldn't begrudge me that moment too much.
Yeah, no, nor should you be. A great moment in Steelers history. Sorry it had to be in the, under the circumstance of Franco Harris's passing away. We have a lot of lines to guess. The point of this exercise is to extract value, first look at Week 17 lines in the NFL, and in the process we'll look back at everything that has happened thus far this weekend, with, of course the Chargers and Colts still to come tonight. I have no pre-flop play on that game, quite frankly. But let's get to it. We'll talk about Survivor. We'll talk about everything. Guessing lines. The formal introduction with Chrissy Andrews. All right, Wyatt, what's first? What's Thursday?
Thursday night, we have the Titans facing off against the Cowboys.
That's at Tennessee, correct?
Yes, at Tennessee. Sorry, let me flip that.
Okay. Dallas, here's the so this is what, and now we're at the point in the season with 2 weeks left where we have to know all the implications for every team when it comes to the postseason, what the motivations are, what the chances are. And this is, we start off with one of these. So Dallas is going to be the number five seed unless they win twice the rest of the way and the Eagles lose twice. That's just how it is for Dallas. So against the Eagles, and boy, if you had the Eagles, I hope you had the plus six and at least got a push out of this. Wyatt, what number did you have?
Definitely wasn't the plus six. I think you got a plus four and a half.
That's a brutal push or loss if you were an Eagles backer in this one against the Cowboys. Down 3-0. Cowboys had a first and 10 at their own 47. Prescott, pick six. Josh Sweat, 52 yards to the house. 10-0. Philly. This is with Gardner Minshew at quarterback in for Jalen Hurts. Down 10-7. Cowboys went for it 4th and 8 at the Philly 45. Perhaps a first half play that people will forget about. 12:58 left in the half. Bailed out by an illegal contact penalty. 3 plays later, Prescott to CeeDee Lamb, who had a great game. 36-yard touchdown pass. 14-10 Dallas coming back from the 10-0 deficit. Eagles went 74 yards to make it 17-14. Cowboys matriculated, got a field goal to make it 17-17. And then down, the Cowboys now down again 10, 27-17 after a late first half Eagles field goal and a 77-yard touchdown drive in the Eagles' first possession of the third quarter. Cowboys have a 4th and 1 at their own 34, 7:25 left in the third quarter. Zeke ran for 22, 5 plays later, a Maher field goal made it 27-20. Then 1st and 10 at the Eagles' 39, 4:15 left. Minshew fumbles, Jayron Kearse recovers, Minshew saves the touchdown with the tackle. 5 plays later, though, 2:19 left in the third quarter. Dak to Gallup for 12, 27-27. Philly comes right back, though. 13-play, 75-yard drive. They go up a touchdown, 34-27. Minshew to Smith for 9. Ensuing drive, 3rd and 30 for Dallas. Down 7. 3rd and 30 for Dallas at their own 29 with 8:02 left in the ballgame. Dak to T.Y. Hilton for 52 on a 3rd and 30. 4 plays later, Dak to CeeDee Lamb for 7. And we're tied again at 34. 3rd and 3 for Philly at the Dallas 46, 4:24 left. Minshew is then picked by Deron Bland when Bland basically ripped it out of Quez Watkins' hands. Wyatt is shaking his head at these. Leads to Maher's 48-yard field goal. Cowboys go up 37-34. Then the first play of the next drive. Miles Sanders fumbles, hit by Carlos Watkins, recovered by Anthony Barr. And the Cowboys are in business. Now, there was a couple plays here late where you have to kind of wonder about Dak Prescott's mind being in the game. He goes out of bounds stupidly on a 16-yard gain, leaving 2:01 left. Then takes a stupid sack thinking the clock would still run, but it's the 2-minute warning. So Dallas, 4th and goal at the 3, and then Dallas does something strange. 4th and goal at the 3, they try to draw Philly offside, which made no sense because it would have done nothing because would they really have gone for it at the 1.5-yard line? Anyway, all of that leads to a Maher 26-yard field goal and a 40-34 lead for Dallas with 1:41 left. Philly has one timeout left. Minshew and Philly gets all the way to the Cowboys 19, but a spike A ball thrown too far beyond the end zone, then a flush out of the pocket that leads to another incomplete. Same on fourth, incomplete ball game. Cowboys win 40-34. Again, really tough push or loss for Eagles backers. Prescott, 27 of 35, 347, three touchdowns, one pick, sacked six times. Lamb, 10 for 120, two touchdowns. Cowboys plus three in turnovers. Eagles had four of them. That led directly to a 20-7 Dallas advantage off the turnovers. And then there's Tennessee. Titans lose their fifth straight. They blow a four-game lead atop the AFC South, falling into a tie with Jacksonville. The game, by the way, was delayed, the Titans-Texans game, because of power issues. Kickoff was delayed by an hour in a joint agreement by the Titans, the NFL, and local emergency management officials after rolling power blackouts in this game. Tennessee had crews working at Nissan Stadium since the cold front moved into the area Thursday, blew open some windows, burst at least 36 water pipes at the stadium. Even with the delay, coldest home game Titans history. Tennessee set an NFL record by using 91 players in a non-strike season last year. They came into this game having used a league-high 80 players. But this year ain't last year when they were the number one seed in the AFC. Up 14-10, first and 10, the Houston 44. Let's go to the fourth quarter. 13:53 left. Henry hit by Jake Hansen. He fumbles, recovered by Jonathan Grenard. Eventually leads to Fairburn, 22-yard field goal, 14-13 Tennessee. Then the Titans go three and out. Texans go 73 yards on five plays, all but 4 yards on Mills' passes, culminating with Mills to Cook's six-yard touchdown pass. Two-point conversion fails. Titans get the ball with 2:52 left, sixth play. Willis picked by Christian Harris. Titans get the ball back with 1:10 left at their own four. Forget about it. Somehow they get the ball to their own 43 with 5 seconds left. Hail Mary picked by Jalen Petre. Ball game. Jags lead the AFC South in terms of the current tiebreaker. But the bottom line is, this game means nothing to the Titans. In fact, neither game this week means anything to the Jags or the Titans. The showdown for the AFC South title will be Week 18. Willis, 14 of 23 for 99, zero touchdowns, two picks, sacked four times, seven carries for 43 yards at a touchdown. Henry, 23 for 126, a touchdown, but a fumble lost. Only 557 total yards of offense in the game, and the Titans were minus two in turnovers. All of the Titans' turnovers in the fourth quarter. Because of the fact that this means nothing to Tennessee, Chrissy, I would have said Dallas minus six, but it's got to be like Dallas minus nine because of that.
Well, my power ratings come to 10 without any of the finagling and all that other stuff. Right now, I do see the number 9.5 and 10. I'm going to open 10. I see both numbers out there. So I might as well open what my power ratings came to because it is the number that's out there. So I'm going to open 10. I mean, I think there's a lot of question marks with this Dallas team.
Me too.
An awful lot of them. But, of course, Tennessee, I mean, how could there be more question marks the way they've been playing lately and losing and everything else? So I'm going to open 10. I think that's a decent number. That's what I'm going to open.
It's almost an impossible game to bet, though, with the Titans having zero motivation in this one. Does not matter to them. Does to Dallas. Guessing lines on a Monday. Coming back. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Your book is being purchased often by folks for Christmas?
Yeah. I had like a little rush of guys buying it for Christmas. And I could see yesterday I sold a lot of books. I'm thinking it's people using their Amazon gift cards. So if you have an Amazon gift card, I know where you can spend that very wisely by buying my book, Avel Fosmu. And the easiest way, I have a pinned tweet on Twitter. follow the link there, and it's, you know, my brother. Or if you just go to Amazon, put in my name and my brother, and it'll come up. You know, but yeah, I sold some books yesterday. I have a feeling, like I said, Amazon gift cards were utilized.
Adele Fosmo. And your 15 to 20 second pitch on the book is your synopsis?
Oh, a couple of Greek Americans are trying to fix a football game and using their former partner's son who became a star quarterback.
A novel.
It's a novel. Some guy asked me, is this a true story? No, I mean, it would probably be in the papers if it was a true story.
As a matter of fact, it is. Thanks for asking. All right, off Thursday night, guessing some lines for Week 17. What you got next here?
We got a dandy of a game, Arizona Cardinals versus the Atlanta Falcons.
By the way, do we have Saturday games this coming week? Do we have Saturday games?
Nope.
No, just Sunday. Okay.
Saturday's bowl game day.
Bowl game day, that's right.
Semifinals.
Boy, Bulls start in earnest tomorrow. We got today, but then it's a cavalcade starting tomorrow. All right, Arizona at Atlanta. The 4-11 Cardinals, the 5-10 Falcons, both eliminated from playoff contention. Arizona last night, they were down 3-0, 4th-and-2 at their own 45, 10:45 left in the first. Fake Andy Lee to Kamu Grugier-Hill for 4. 5 plays later, McSorley blindside hit by Anthony Nelson on the blitz, fumbled, recovered by Devin White. Ensuing drive, Tampa had a 4th-and-inches at the Arizona 48, 5:44 left in the first after Fournette was stopped by J.J. Watt on 2nd-and-1 and 3rd-and-1. This time Fournette was stoned by Tanner Vallejo, though it led to nothing. And there was a lot of that last night between the Buccaneers, who had everything to play for, and the Cardinals, who didn't, with Trace McSorley at quarterback. Or as Todd Wishnev called him on the Megapod, Marty McSorley. he was doing it derisively, of course. 3-3 game after a Prater 56-yarder, 4th-and-inches for Tampa Bay at the Arizona 18, 10:53 left. Brady sneak, 6 plays later, suck up 35-yarder. That's in the first half, 10:53 left. 6-3 Tampa Bay later, 1st-and-10 for Tampa Bay at the Arizona 33, 5:23 left in the second quarter. Brady picked by Marco Wilson, led to nothing, but eventually Arizona got the ball back. Prater from 53, 6-6 at halftime. You're like, wait a minute. Tampa Bay, if they lose this game, you know, everyone will be 6-9. Everybody but the Falcons, that is, in the NFC South. Punt fest to begin the third quarter, won by Arizona, won by Tampa Bay, won by Arizona. Then Brady, 3rd-and-11 at the Arizona 36 with 3:14 left in the third. Picked deep by Marco Wilson again, 5 plays later. McSorley to Marquise Brown for 47. That led to a 39-yard Prater field goal, and Arizona led 9-6. Tampa Bay, 3-and-out. Farrow Cooper, 28-yard punt return, including a hurdle. 5-play, 67-yard touchdown drive for Arizona. Connor in from 22. 16-6 Cardinals. Tampa Bay then 7-play, 67-yard drive. Brady to Fournette for 44, the big play. Brady to Rashad White from 6, out for the score. 16-13 Arizona. 3rd-and-1 at Tampa Bay 42, 4:53 left. McSorley pitches to Keontae Ingram, bounces off of him. William Golston recovers, leads to a suck-up 42-yard field goal. What do you know? Tampa Bay has come back again. 16-all. Arizona 3-and-out. Tampa Bay 3-and-out. Decide not to go for it on 4th-and-2 at their own 42 with 56 seconds left. Arizona, they don't try for a 68-yard Prater field goal. They false start Hail Mary picked short of the end zone by Keanu Neal. Overtime. Arizona wins the toss, forced to punt, and you guessed it, Tampa Bay gets the ball at their own 11 with 7:43 left, only needing a field goal. Brady to Gage for 23, the biggest chunk, suck up 40-yard field goal, 19-16 ball game. Bucks win. We'll get to the Bucks and the whole playoff situation with them in the NFC South momentarily. And then Atlanta eliminated from playoff contention. They've lost 4 straight, 6 of 7, 16 degrees in their game this week against Baltimore. It felt like 2 there at Baltimore, down 3-0. They blocked a Tucker 55-yard field goal try 6 plays later. Atlanta went for it 4th-and-5 at the Baltimore 44, 49 seconds left in the first. Ritter incomplete pass intended for Damir Bird. That led to a Tucker 27-yard field goal, 6-0. Then Atlanta had a 4th-and-2 at the Baltimore 46 with 9:09 left in the second quarter. Ritter complete to Drake London, well past the sticks, but he was hit by Marlon Humphrey, fumbled, recovered by Patrick Queen. Down 14-3, they did convert a 4th-and-1 at midfield, 12:19 left in the third on an Algier 4-yard run. 10 plays later, a coup field goal, 14-6. Down 17-6, Atlanta 6:49 left, 4th-and-goal at the 1. Algier stuffed for a 1-yard loss. Down 17-9 with 2 timeouts. I guess this is really the only big thing I want to mention about the Falcons. Down 17-9 with 2 timeouts. The Falcons kick it so that the Ravens can run it back through the 2-minute warning. Should have gone for an onside kick. Or made it so it was north of the 2-minute mark. Instead, they don't. A little details like that. Ritter ends up 22 of 33 for 218. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice in the loss to Baltimore. Algier, 18 for 74. 4 catches for 43. But this is the dud game of the week. And I will say Atlanta is a 4-point favorite in this against Arizona.
You're a little high. It's pretty much 3.5. Matter of fact, I'm looking right now. I see a little juice either way, but it's 3.5 is the number. My numbers come to 3.5. I made an adjustment for McSorley, 2 points. By the way, I have a pretty good Marty McSorley story, but I don't think I can tell that story right now, even off the air. But he didn't. I love the kid. He played for Penn State. Really had a lot of guts. He was a terrific. I don't say a terrific quarterback, a gutty quarterback who got them a lot of wins, more on his guts than his talent. But, you know, his QBR, I think, was like 11.6 or something like that yesterday. Not very good. So I had to make an adjustment there, 2 points. With that, if Colt McCoy comes in, I think it's, you know, I got to drop it about 2 points. But right now it looks like it's going to be McSorley. So I think 3.5 is a good number.
Let's throw one more here. Why? What do we got?
Next game, we've got the Chicago Bears taking on the Detroit Lions.
Looking for value here. This is going to be tough these last couple weeks, as tough as it already is, betting the NFL to begin with, but now with all kinds of implications. Chicago and Detroit. So Detroit, is that the game you just said? Chicago, Detroit, yeah. Is that what you said? Detroit, 7-8. So Detroit, a half game out of the NFC playoff picture. Washington inhabiting the seventh spot right now at 7-7-1. First of all, Chicago, 8 straight losses. They played in a game that was 9 degrees, felt like it was minus 10 in Chicago. I won't go too far into this, but just this was a weird game against Buffalo because it felt like it was really close for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the box score, you're like, wait, Chicago got crushed. They were up 7-6. They went for it 4th-and-3 at the Buffalo 33, 2:47 left in the first. Fields was batted down, as pass was by Ed Oliver. 8 plays later, 2nd-and-19 of the Chicago 28, 13-10 left in the second quarter. Josh Allen was picked by Kyler Gordon. They traded punts. Chicago 4th-and-3 at the Buffalo 31, 5:57 left in the second. They're still up 7-6. Fields to Montgomery for 6. They settle for a Santos field goal, but they're still up. The Bears are 10-6. After the break, they give up 87 rushing yards then on the first two Bills drives of the second half, including Singletary 33-yard scamper to the house and a 27-yard James Cook touchdown run. And just like that, it was 21-10 Bills, but the Bears still hung around. There was a late third-quarter Gabe Davis fumble that led to a Bears touchdown drive that featured a 44-yard field, a Velus Jones pass and catch, and a 4th-and-3 conversion at the Buffalo 16 with 13:04 left. Fields to Ryan Griffin just past the sticks. So we thought, but overturned on a great challenge by Sean McDermott. 2 plays later, Allen threw a terrible pick. Nicholas Morrow got it. Bears were set up inside the red zone, but they were held to a field goal. At this point, it's 21-13, and that's when the floodgates opened. Bills dominated the rest of the way. They won it 35-13, but it was close for a long time, or at least a one-score game for a long time. Fields, 15 of 23 for 119, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice, 11 first downs. 2-for-12 on third, 1-for-4 on fourth. The Bears were outgained 426-209. And then Detroit, similarly, this game was over quick. 19-degree weather, felt like 8 at Carolina. Balmy compared to some of these other games. But it was 7-7, 4th-and-1 at the Carolina 22, 54 seconds left in the first quarter. Lions went for it, converted Jamal Williams' 2-yard run. But 3 plays later, 1st-and-goal to Carolina 8, 14-20 left in the second. Goff fumbles in the exchange, and Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State recovers for Carolina. That led to an 8-play Carolina go-ahead touchdown drive highlighted by a Donta Foreman 38-yard run, finishing with a Darnold 3-yard run for the score. 14-7 Carolina, and it was all Carolina from there. And the game pretty much was over when down 34-13, 10:33 left, 4th-and-5 of the Carolina 7. Goff incomplete pass intended for Josh Reynolds. Goff ended up 25 of 42 for 355, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Chark 4 for 108. But here's the deal. Detroit gave up 570 total yards and a Carolina franchise record 320 rushing yards. But the Lions have something to play for. The Bears do not. I put it in no man's land. Lions minus 5.5.
Boy, you're dead on. I missed this one badly. I had the Lions 8 in this game. I think we're looking too much at that one game. I mean, they played horribly. They were out of it kind of early. You know, I think right now the Lions are – I think right now people have a short memory, saw what they saw the other day. I think this number is way too cheap. I like the Lions. I'm going to probably open 6. And see if they'll, I mean, I'm sure they'll take it. But I think this number should be higher. I think it's an overreaction to the Lions.
I don't know if the Bears
are going to.
Bears don't lie down, though.
No. They played hard, too. Yeah.
We're coming back. Guessing Lions, week 17.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, and betting reports. It's a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Chrissy Andrews is here. Wyatt Tomchak in for Kelly Bidlin. Merry Christmas. Hope your Christmas was great. Happy holidays to all, whatever it is you're celebrating. Happy New Year's as well. You had a nice tweet yesterday, I thought.
I got a lot of comments on it, a lot of views. I'll just read the tweet. Merry Christmas to all in the betting and bookmaking community. We're all in this to try to win our share, but many of my best friends are on the other side of the counter. And let's face it, we need each other. So best wishes for a terrific holiday season and in the coming year. It really, both sides of the counter, forget this. You know, we need customers.
Takes two to tango.
And we need, that's Rux. It needs two to make a bet.
Yeah. You know,
and a lot of the customers out there, and want to bust the bookmaker. And we're going to go next week. You know, so, I mean, we need each other. I mean, like, and the only, listen, I could use a lot of examples, but look at the end of an NFL game. Guys go out and shake hands, hug, you know. What the Rams won the Super Bowl last year. You didn't think they wanted the league to disappear because they won the Super Bowl? No, they need 32 teams.
That's right.
You know, I mean, no. I mean, so we need each other. We're in it together.
It's a very nice holiday thought. I would imagine 2 weeks from now, most people will be like, I don't even know what he said. And they'll be back to the same attitude. But it's a beautiful, I think it's a beautiful thought. You got a nice response to it,
A lot of very good responses to that, yeah.
I like it. All right, we continue with guessing lines of Week 17, looking for value.
Next game, we have the Denver Broncos taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, so Denver just gets absolutely destroyed by the Rams yesterday. And I'll just do the first sequence of two, and then we could just move on. But they were down 3-0, 3-9 at their own 26. The Broncos were the Rams. 7:47 left in the first quarter. Wilson was picked by Kobe Durant. Three plays later, Mayfield to Higbee for 9 yards, 10-0. Then down 10-0. Second play of the ensuing drive. 2nd and 16 at their own 19. 5:20 left in the first quarter. Russell Wilson picked by Bobby Wagner, his former teammate. Two plays later, Akers 3-yard touchdown run. 17-0 before you could blink. Rams over the Broncos. At that point in the game, Wilson was 0-3 with two picks with 5:12 left in the first quarter. Is that good? Anyway, final score 51-14 to the Rams. Wilson ends up 15 of 27 for 214, one touchdown, three picks. He was sacked 6 times. Judy 6 for 117. But they were -4 in turnovers. By the way, there was a Brett Rypien pick 6 for good measure at the very end. So, like, people who had the Rams -33.5 in game at one point. I know they won by 37, but there was a 33.5 that was thrown out there. Got home with the pick 6. I just want to say this about the Broncos, because obviously they're donezo, and they've been donezo. But how many times this year have we said Nathaniel Hackett shouldn't be allowed back on the plane? And the reason that we say that is because of games like this. That team has completely quit on that guy. They didn't show up for this game at all. It was so embarrassing for that franchise.
Well, I have a grading system I use, and I just double-checked. Broncos got the lowest grade for the week, and Russell Wilson also got the lowest QBR for the week. So
yeah, it is. It's a good combination.
It was a good combination. Yeah. You ain't going to win too many games with that combination.
Yeah. So Denver's 4-11. They're taking on the 12-3 Chiefs. Not much to say about the Chiefs' win over the Seahawks, other than it was the Chiefs' fifth straight, gets them to their fifth straight season with 12-plus wins. How awesome is that if you're a Chiefs fan? 9-degree game, felt like it was -5 in Kansas City. Mahomes ended up 16 of 28 for 224, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, 2 for 8 on the ground with a touchdown. Kelce, 6 for 113. The Chiefs only needed 14 first downs in this game. By the way, we're showing a picture of it was Mahomes running to the pylon. It was just an amazing touchdown run. In the end, the Chiefs were outgained 333 to 297, 35-02 to 24-58 in time of possession. Didn't matter. We'll get to the Seahawks later, but they just had a bunch of fourth down gaffes and just could never get a big play when they needed one. The Chiefs hosting the Broncos, this has to be 14, right?
It's 13.5. I do see a 14 out there with juice on the dog. You know, I was looking at my power ratings last night, and, you know, I'm looking at this is just addition and subtraction. Number comes to 11 right away. I wouldn't take 11 on this game.
Yeah.
If you put a gun to my head. So that is what my power ratings come to. And let me just say, give the first bingo, or probably about the third or fourth. I like your number better.
Thank you, sir.
So I'm going to go with 13.5. I think that's an okay place to start. And let's go there. Like I said, even my power ratings are lower. I don't like the Chiefs. They often don't cover as big favorites, but boy, it's hard to bet this Bronco team. Who would take 11 in this game? It's got to be 13.5, 14.
Gotta
I'm
going
to open 13.5.
Why?
Next game, we've got two teams trending on the downward. Miami Dolphins against the New England Patriots.
All right, so the 8-7 Dolphins, who are still in playoff position despite their loss to the Packers, and the Patriots, 7-8, on the outside looking in. These two games are dense. This will be our last long one. But Miami loses their fourth in a row yesterday. They do so to the Packers. They were up 3-0 after a 7-play drive, but then they kick off to Keyshawn Nixon of the Packers. He returns at 93 yards. First and goal to Miami 9. The Dolphins' D does hold, and it's 3-3. First play from scrimmage, ensuing drive, 2 at a Waddle for 84, all but 10 yards of him. Yak! 10-3 Dolphins, 9:08 left first quarter. What a game to start. Then a play that I think will get lost in the shuffle because everybody will rightfully focus in on Tua. But because of Keyshawn Nixon's 93-yard kickoff return the first go-round, the Dolphins decide to knuckle it after taking the 10-3 lead to keep it away from Nixon, and so the Packers start at their own 46. Short field, they get it all the way down there. Watson actually stumbled untouched on third down, which would have been a cakewalk into the end zone on third and goal from the 5. But fourth and goal at the 1, Rodgers to Mercedes Lewis, 10-10. And so I really thought that squib kick sort of gets lost in the shuffle here. But 10-10 game, 4th-and-1 for Green Bay at the Miami 37, 13-30 left in the second quarter. Rodgers just throws it way over the head of Watson. Rodgers was upset about that play. 4 plays in, 2 at a Tyreek for 52 to the Green Bay 1. Wilson 1-yard touchdown run, and Miami's up again 17-10. And then down 17-10, Green Bay snapped to the up back on 4th-and-2 at the Green Bay 20, at their own 20 with 9:21 left in the second quarter. Dallin Levitt stopped by Raquan Davis. Miami settles for a field goal, 20-10 Miami, 4:18 left in the second quarter. And at that point, I'm just sort of thinking to myself, like, Green Bay is doing everything to give this football game away. Seemed like a really odd performance by the Packers. Oh, but you just wait. Up 20-10, 2 minutes left. Miami with the ball up 10, 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Hit by Jaron Reed. Raheem Mostert fumbles, recovered by Reed. 4th-and-1 at the Miami, 4th-and-1 in Miami territory, 103 left. Rodgers to Watson for 10. That leads to a field goal, 20-13 Miami at the half. Miami was outscored 13-0 in the second half. Green Bay had a 4th-and-1 at their own 31 with 13:07 left in the third quarter. They went for it. Rodgers for 2 yards. 7 plays later, Dillon went in from the 1 to tie the game up at 20-20. That after a 31-yard completion to Mercedes Lewis, that got the Packers inside the 10 that wouldn't have survived a review, went unchallenged. Mike McDaniel after the game saying, coaches upstairs didn't receive clean information fast enough. 4th-and-1 for Miami at their own 34, 5:34 left in the third quarter. Mostert for 9, that led to a Miss Sanders 48-yard field goal try. Next drive, 3rd-and-15 at the Miami 39, 14:16 left. Rodgers picked by Kader Kahu. I believe that's how you pronounce it, touchback. Next play, though, and here's where it starts. 20-20 game. Tua picked by Jaire Alexander. just overthrows the receiver into coverage, returns it to the 14. The Miami defense holds Green Bay to a field goal, 23-20 Green Bay. Second and 13 at the Green Bay 30 now, 6:09 left. Tua picked by Devondre Campbell, never saw the linebacker. That leads to a Crosby 26-yard field goal, 26-20 Green Bay. Then Miami starts at their own 28 with 1:56 left. Second play, Tua throws it right to Rasul Douglas, ball game. 26-20 Green Bay. Tua ends up 16 of 25 for 310, one touchdown, three picks. He was sacked twice. He was 9 of 12 in the first half for 229 and a touchdown. And in the second half, Tua was 7 of 13 for 81, no touchdowns and three picks. In fact, entering that ball game for the whole season, Tua had thrown five picks. He threw three in the fourth quarter. Waddle 5 for 143 and a touchdown. Tyreek 4 for 103, minus three in turnovers. All of them massively consequential. And Miami holding on to dear life in the AFC playoff picture. Green Bay now a half game out of the NFC playoff picture, half game behind Washington. We'll get to the whole New England thing, but let me hazard a guess here on this game before we get to the New England recap, which was just unbelievable. I will say Miami, I'll split the difference between three and a pick here. I'll go -1.5 on the road.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's about what it opened. I saw anywhere between Miami kind of 2.5, Miami 1, somewhere in there. All the money on the overnights has come in on New England, and I kind of agree with that.
Wow.
My numbers, man, you know, just addition and subtraction, my numbers come to New England 1/2, so essentially pick or New England 1. And I see mostly pick, but the money has definitely showed on New England in this game. I'm going to open pick, but if I see it going to 1, I'm going to go to 1 New England. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but
we'll come back to this game after.
Okay, right? Something to say about yesterday's game, too.
Yeah. So. Because we got to get to the New England part of this equation as well. Guessing lines on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Betting tip, our pro tip of the hour, we do on every hour here on the network. Really, with only 2 weeks left in the season, make sure you know each team's playoff implications and associated motivations. For example, we talked about the Titans a little earlier. It'll come up with the Jaguars as well. Jaguars and Titans, just to name two teams, their games this week mean nothing to them. Nothing. It doesn't matter what happens with the Titans or the Jaguars this week. The AFC South will come down to their meeting against each other in Week 18. So that's just one example. You got to know the motivations. You got to know why the lines are what they are. And we don't know how Mike Vrabel or Doug Peterson might play their respective games. You might sit people. You might play them for a while and say, you know what, it's enough of that. Or they might decide, no, it matters just as much. We don't want to break any of our momentum. So we'll try to read tea leaves as the week goes on with those guys.
You know, I always thought, like, the players, when you're out there, because a lot of these guys, they're competing for a job, and they don't want to get beat physically and all that. But it's the coaches at some time, or general managers, whatever. It's like, we'll take it easy here.
That's exactly right. By the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book, and so many people have been so nice. This is the lovely time about the holiday season is people are so nice everywhere, and especially on Twitter. There's so many people wrote nice notes over the weekend. I won't go back and read those, but the ones that we got this morning, Elvis Toast Patterson, Young Gilly, glad to see you and Chrissy grinding the day after Christmas. Want to wish you guys a happy new year in 4 days until Kelly Bidlin's Eggnog Challenge, yes, Friday. Happy new year. Merry Christmas to you, Elvis. We appreciate that. Scotty B 726, you have to think of a way to make guessing lines year round. I'm already starting to feel the withdrawal. I appreciate that nothing cast as wide a net as the NFL.
No, it's hard to do, but I still think our Monday show should be 3 hours.
Some of these need it. And Scotty asked this of you. He says, I don't understand opening the Chiefs at 13.5 instead of 14 in the Denver game. The next move would be 14.5, not 13.5, in my opinion. I can't see anyone coming in on the Denver side.
That's what makes gambling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have different opinions. Yeah. You know, like I said, if I put out this perfect number that nobody would ever want to bet this number, well, what good's that?
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't want to say the guy's name, but I was working with a guy one time. I'm going to put out a line so good, nobody's going to bet.
Is that really the point of this?
Really, yeah, really. You know,
is that what you're trying to do?
We're going to slap five at the end of the day. Nobody made a bet all day
today.
That's
awesome.
Oh, great.
Back to the Miami-New England game, which, by the way, was not the game flexed to Sunday night. They were making a big deal how the Steelers-Ravens game is, which your Steelers, a rivalry game with the Ravens. I'm surprised Miami-New England wasn't, but I know you want to say something else about this, but New England yesterday, because I got to talk about this game, on Saturday, I had the Bengals A lot of people had the Bengals. On Friday on a numbers game, Matt Brown came on the show, and we basically for like 3 minutes were going back and forth about, I don't understand this line at all. How could the Bengals be this low of a favorite? And we made this case. I was even getting ready to tweet it out again on Saturday and be like, this aged well, just to be honest with you. And so here's how this game goes. New England, by the way, has lost 4 of 5 in a game again here, another cold game, 15 degrees, felt like it was 2 degrees. Cincinnati dominated the first half. And like everything we said was right. Cincinnati compiled more first downs, 22, in the opening 30 minutes than the Patriots had plays, 17. New England managed just 3 first downs, 70 total yards, and amassed 44 penalty yards. Now, you could quibble with the Bengals. Evan McPherson did miss his first 2 PAT attempts, even though the second was nullified. Up 15-0, Burrow did throw a red zone pick late second quarter, Devin McCourty. But, you know, there wasn't much wrong until up 22-0 with 4:04 left in the third quarter, a 69-yard pick six, Marcus Jones the other way, to provide the Pats first points of the game, 22-6. Then they got it to 22-12, the Patriots did, on a Jones to Bourne 5-yard touchdown pass a couple minutes into the fourth quarter, 2-point conversion failed. Now it's 22-12, fourth quarter. Evan McPherson misses a 43-yard field goal. I don't know what's going on with him, by the way, with 9:10 left. 9:10 left in the game, 22-12, he misses. At this point in the game, the total yards is 418-155 in favor of the Bengals. I mean, they're just killing the Patriots. Somehow the Patriots are hanging around. Patriots, 2nd and 11 at the Cincinnati 30, 6:18 left. A Mac Jones would-be fumble and return for the Bengals for a touchdown instead is called intentional grounding. And by the way, Mac Jones with a cheap shot.
Oh, he's had a couple.
With a cheap shot on that return, uncalled. So the Patriots end up with a 3rd and 29 at the Cincinnati 48 with 6:13 left, down 10. Jones avoids the rush, heaves it, deflects off of Scotty Washington, right back into the hands of Jacoby Myers, touchdown. And I am apoplectic. Like, I cannot believe this. I'm like, wait a minute. They're going to kick an extra point, and this is going to be the worst push of my life. Cincinnati -3, and then Folk misses the PAT.
Was there 4 missed extra points in that game, or 3? I think three.
It's 22-18, and I'm thinking, well, thank goodness, justice. The Bengals should cover this. There's no way I should not cover this game. 22-18. But then 3rd and 3 at the Cincinnati 44 with 3:19 left. Burrow to Chase, hit by Matthew Judon, fumbles, recovered by Marcus Jones. Is this real life? Is this happening? 6 plays later, 1st and goal, the Cincinnati 5. I am just so angry, as all Bengals backers are. The Bengals are out of timeouts. And Ramondre Stevenson gets hit by Von Bell. Josh DePauw recovers a fumble. 59 seconds left. You cannot believe it. It's a Christmas miracle. After we had zero business losing this bet in the first place. Pats have all 3 timeouts left, though. They get the ball back at their own 24, 41 seconds left. Drops and a false start leave them with only a bomb try on 4th down intended for Tyquan Thornton, who actually looked like he might have had a step, but it was broken up. Ball game, 22-18 Bengals. Unbelievable. That game, to me, represents the NFL as good as any this year. And no business losing if you're Bengals. You got lucky to still be up 4. Then you had no business winning, and then you win in the end. Ravens clinched the playoff berth with that Bengals win. Mac Jones was 21 of 33 for 240, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. Bourne 6 for 100 and touchdown. The Patriots only had 15 first downs. They were outgained 442 to 285. They were out time of possession 36-48 to 23-12. They had 10 penalties for 82. They were +2 in turnovers. Anyway, that game was Michigan. What did you want to say about this at all?
I wanted to talk about the Miami side of it. And, yeah, you know, the whole world was on Green Bay against Miami. That was a big loss for us yesterday.
Really?
But the more I look at the game, I mean, did Green Bay win it or did Miami blow it?
Miami blew it.
Yeah, I think Miami blew it. Yeah. Meanwhile, as I'm saying that, I'm looking here at the screen, looked and the money had come in strongly on New England overnight. It's coming back now on Miami. Miami's going back to the favorite.
Yeah, they should be the favorite.
It's the picks are gone. It's back to Miami one. I'm still opening pick. I'm going to take
come
a bet.
Come you to like my number,
Miami.
Market. Come
you
to
like
my number.
Miami.
Yeah.
That's fine. By the way, Mac Jones, I saw a little film clip of his dirty plays. And you think, oh, well, let's see. We're studied under Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Dirty plays. Okay. I can understand that.
Yeah, I had minus Miami minus 1.5, and so now it's moving towards that now.
Yeah, it's okay. Coming back. The early money was the other way. Now it's coming back on Miami.
Let's squeeze in one real quick here.
Next game we have the Indianapolis Colts taking on the New York Giants.
So the Colts at 4-9-1, they play the Chargers tonight. We'll talk about the survivor implications of that game momentarily. But the Giants, they clinch a playoff berth with a win in either of their last two games. That's the Giants' story right now. But they're down 17-13, driving against the Vikings. First and 10 at the Minnesota 29 with 11:42 left. Jones picked by Patrick Peterson. Next time the Giants had the ball, Richie James straight dropped a 3rd-and-5 pass with 6:33 left from Jones that would have given the G-men a first down. Instead, a Gano 55-yard field goal cut the Minnesota lead at 17-16. They force a 3-and-out, but then a 3-and-out themselves leads to a Jamie Gillen punt with 4:10 left, gets blocked by Josh Metellus. And then it goes to a Cousins to Jefferson touchdown for 17 yards. 24-16 Minnesota. You're like, Minnesota's going to win another one. Well, not so fast because it is the Vikings. 4th-and-2 at the Minnesota 27. 2:07 left. Saquon to the house. 24-22. 2-point conversion. Good. Jones to Daniel Bellinger. 24 apiece with 2:01 left. The Vikings get it to a Joseph 61-yard field goal attempt to win it, and he sinks it. With no time left, Vikings win it 27-24. Jones 30 of 42 for 334, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked three times. The Giants outgained Minnesota 445-353. They were -2 in turnovers. I will say, sight unseen with the Colts, the Giants -4.
You're a little high. It's 3 everywhere. My numbers come to 3. I'm going to open 3. We'll see what happens tonight. We have time to adjust. We'll see what kind of motivation the Colts show tonight.
Giants just got to win one of their last two to make the postseason. What could possibly go wrong? More guessing lines. Whole bunch more games to get to. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin, who will be back Thursday, Wyatt, yes?
The confirmation is Thursday.
And what's the eggnog challenge?
So the eggnog challenge, which is taking place Friday. Thank you for asking. So when we did primetime action with Matt Brown, there was a big thing where, you know, they got into a bet. We all did. And then, but the parameters were Kelly had to drink a half a gallon of eggnog in a 2-hour span. Mm. And Kelly was able to do it, correct?
Oh, really?
He was. Some of it went on the shirt, as you'll see on the video that was just up.
In his beard.
He cheated a little bit.
In his beard and in his shirt. But anyway, he hasn't had a drop of eggnog since because it was so disgusting to him. So we brought it back here on a numbers game. But the new parameters are, by the way, this is for $400. Last year was for $300. $400 of my money. He's got to drink a half gallon, and this is negotiated, heavily negotiated here on the air. Oh, it was phenomenal. Took maybe 5 seconds. 1 hour and 25 minutes. There's no chance he gets this done.
No, and if not, I'm going to have to be producing big bets because I don't think he's going to be able to survive.
I should have put a hurl stipulation in
there. Oh, man.
Like he had to keep it down for 5 minutes after that.
Keep the door open so he can run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around for that one.
No, you don't.
I had an uncle one time. I like eggnog, a little. It's so good. How come we can't get any in June?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
That's a good point. It's a limited time offer.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of games to get to. Why? What's next here?
Next up, we've got the New Orleans Saints against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, so New Orleans mathematically alive, but when I'm saying mathematically, after Tampa Bay figured out a way to win that game last night, the Saints have about a 4% chance of getting into the postseason. So it's just that. They're 6-9. That division really is about Tampa Bay and Carolina, and if it could be over with the winner. If New Orleans loses to Philly here, if Tampa Bay wins against Carolina, Tampa Bay wins the South. If Carolina wins, they've all but won the South at that point. New Orleans, 5-degree weather in Cleveland, felt like -13. It was the most inclement weather game of the weekend, the coldest of them all. Coldest game in Saints history. Coldest game ever in Cleveland. Only 493 total yards of offense in the game combined for both teams. Dalton only completed, Andy Dalton, 8 forward passes, 8 of 15 for 92. No touchdowns, one pick. He was not sacked, but the Saints got the win. By the way, I have this note here. This is before Tampa Bay won last night. I said if Tampa Bay loses tonight, New Orleans would only have to win out and have Tampa Bay lose one of their final two games. As it is now, New Orleans must win their last two and Tampa Bay must lose their last two. And that would bring them to the division title. Is that right? If they won their last two and Tampa loses their last two? Yes, because they play Carolina. That's correct. Okay. But Tampa Bay won. So that's the story now. So they got to win two, and Tampa Bay's got to lose two. And then there's Philly. We talked about Philly. Philly is 13-2. They fall to 13-2. I felt like Jalen Hurts took more of a hit in both awards markets with the Gardner Minshew performance here.
I thought Gardner Minshew played really well. Mike, he's a good quarterback.
He really is. And how is he not starting somewhere?
I mean, you know. There's guys in Houston. There's all kinds. I can run the list here.
And I don't want to.
He's a good quarterback.
He is. I don't want to exaggerate how good he is, no, but he's good enough to start somewhere in this league.
He's a good quarterback. Let me. What was his QBR? I remember looking at, because I remember, like, when I'm doing my numbers, I'm saying they did not lose this game because of Gardner Minshew.
He was 24 of 40 for 355, two touchdowns, two picks. He was not sacked. Yeah. Four carries for 5 yards, a touchdown. He did lose a fumble.
70.3 was his QBR, and I thought he played really well.
It's amazing.
He had an interception that was, you know, not his fault. I don't think the guy, like you said, ripped it out of the receiver's hands. You know,
there's at least five teams he should be starting for. Smith, Devontae, 8 for 113. That's 8 for 113 for two touchdowns. Brown, A.J. Brown, 6 for 103. But the Eagles, as I mentioned, -3 in turnovers. They had 4 themselves. That led directly to a net 20-7 Dallas advantage. I'll say Philly. Now, here's the thing. Philly's magic number remains 1.
Mm-hmm.
They just need 1 win or a loss by the Vikings, and they will get the number 1 seed. Now, the question becomes, is Jalen Hurts going to be back for this game? And even if he is, what does that mean to the number? I put 6 as the number, and I'm not sure I care who the quarterback is. Some people would laugh at that, but I'm not sure I do.
No, I would care a little bit, but my numbers come to 7.
Okay.
I like Gardner Minshew. I think this team does need a win. I mean, they need 1 win in their last 2 games here to clinch the number 1 spot. So I like 7. I see a solid 6.5.
What do you think the difference is? Like, if it was Hurts, if I knew it was Hurts, I would say 7. It's Minshew, it's 6. So I shouldn't say it doesn't mean at all, but it doesn't mean as much as I would think it would.
I just sang the praises of Gardner Minshew. I still have a 3-point differential.
3 points. Okay.
So all year I've been saying how much I love Jalen Hurts. You know, and I do. I love this kid. I think he's terrific, you know, as a human and as a quarterback. Yeah. And I had a big question mark him coming into this league. But I like him a lot, and I think it's got to be 3 points. But I still like Gardner Minshew a lot. And like I said, my numbers came to 7. I'm going to open 6.5 because I don't see a 7 out there. The only 7 I see is -0.25 on the dog. You know, so I'm going to open 6.5. But if I see it going up, I'm going to go up with it.
The 3 points is so interesting, right? Because we said the difference between Garoppolo and Purdy was 3 points.
Yeah.
And that was when Purdy hadn't really shown himself yet. Mystery relevant to a guy who was in a Super Bowl was only 3 right. points. And now we're saying Hurts and Minshew is only 3 points.
Yeah. I think it has to be 3 points, but I think Minshew is a good quarter. I love Jalen Hurts. I've been talking about him all year. I love the kid.
What's next, Wyatt?
All right. The matchup of the week in the NFC South, the Panthers versus the Buccaneers.
This is an early game?
10 a.m., I believe, yes.
10 a.m. or 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so this is, again, Carolina controls their own destiny. Tampa Bay controls their own destiny. 6-9 Panthers, 7-8 Buccaneers. Panthers, in that win, in that just absolute crushing of the Lions, Darnold was 15 of 22 for 250, one touchdown, no picks. He was not sacked. He did score once on the ground. Donta Foreman, 21 for 165 and a touchdown. Chuba Hubbard, 12 for 125. The Panthers had a franchise record 570 total yards and a franchise record 320 rushing yards. They had 7 different runs of 20-plus yards. They had 364 yards by halftime, a first-half franchise record. I mean, they just destroyed Detroit. 10 penalties for 74 yards. And then, as we mentioned, the Bucs figure out a way to beat the Cardinals last night. Bucs still really in. I mean, again, if they win this game and New Orleans loses, the Bucs are going to the playoffs and they're going to host a playoff game. Right now, that would be against Dallas.
Yeah.
Brady's third straight game with multiple picks. I think it's. Now, here's the thing, right? I have completely viewed the Buccaneers different from the betting market all season long.
Oh, you mean correctly?
Correctly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, let's clarify that.
I have the Buccaneers as a 1.5-point favorite here against Carolina.
That's exactly what my numbers come to.
We did not talk about this.
We haven't talked.
We never talk about
it. We're not actually friends. I'm just kidding.
No, we haven't.
But we haven't talked about this. My numbers come to 1.5. It's 3 everywhere, a blanket 3. I even see a 3.5 showing up. Yeah, that's 3.5.
I am betting the Panthers right now.
I'm going to open 2.5. I definitely want to take a bet. By the way, I got a tweet. My limits are not lower earlier in the week. I don't do that. You know, so we take full limits, you know, all week when we open up. I'm a little more careful around the 2.5, 3.5 game. But, no, we full limits. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to open 2.5. I'm looking for a bet. And my numbers came to 1.5, the exact same as yours. And as I'm watching that game last night, I was thinking of you. I said, Gil has nailed this team. They're not any good.
They're terrible. I said it all year.
And Brady, this is the worst we've seen Tom Brady. Yeah, he's 46 years old.
Yeah.
He just divorced his billionaire wife. Have you seen his face? He looks like a skeleton.
He looks terrible.
Yeah.
He's gaunt. No, listen, it is an interesting thing. This is, and I don't think I'm being prisoner of the moment when I say this. The NFL betting markets this year have been very stubborn about that team.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the motor memory of Tom Brady being the greatest of all time.
Unquestionably.
Right? So it just, first of all, the analytics community had them rated high for about half the season. And then even they finally decided, okay, maybe they're not that good. But the betting market continues week after. It doesn't matter what's happening on the field. It continues to think this team is good at all.
Gil, we had that number 7.5. And I remember thinking, how can this number, last night I'm talking about, how can it be 7.5? Okay, you got McSorley and the Cardinals stink and they can't win at home. And then we wound up going to 8 on the game. So Michael Gaughan calls last night. He says, who do we need? We need the Cardinals. And sometimes Michael, he's a casual fan. What are we laying? No, we're getting 7.5. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. And think about it. They are 7-8. Somehow they came back from the 16-6 deficit last night.
Yeah.
They have the two miracle Brady finishes.
Yeah.
And then they shouldn't have beat New Orleans the first time. They legitimately could have 3 wins.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
And they're legitimately playing a team in the first round if.
Yes.
If. There's been known to blow games. I mean, am I going to tap out on Dallas over Tampa Bay?
Nope.
Yeah, no chance.
That's the other side of that.
That's, yeah.
And again, my Cowboys fan friends say the same thing. They're like, we don't want to play Tampa Bay. Because they have the motor memory, the muscle memory too, right?
Well, there's muscle memory on both sides. Right. I mean, you see this Dallas team, they do a lot of things to blow a game. They just do it.
Oh, one last thing about this Carolina-Tampa Bay game. This is the game that I got bounced in Survivor. Carolina destroyed them with Pajamas Walker at quarterback. Isn't that what PJ stands for? Pajamas? No, it doesn't.
How about they fired their coach, traded their best offensive player, the best defensive player, and cut their quarterback. And they won, 5 out of 7 now.
They're so much better than Tampa Bay. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget about our college bowl season coverage here at the network. VSiN has you covered every which way. We got picks, spreads, and totals for every single bowl game. Head to VSiN.com and check out all our bowl betting coverage while you're there. Now's a great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. You get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews, Wyatt Tomchak in for Kelly Bidlin. We got a lot of games to still get to here. What's next?
Next up, we've got the Cleveland Browns against the Washington Commanders.
All right. Cleveland eliminated from playoff contention against the Saints. It was their third straight game with only 13 points or fewer for the Browns. How about that? Deshaun Watson, 15 of 31 for 135 in the inclement weather. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked twice. 3 for 24 on the ground with a touchdown. That's all I'm going to say about the Browns. Here's the story with Washington. Washington is 7-7-1. Everybody was saying, oh, what was the big winner of the weekend? Everyone was like, oh, Green Bay. How many times do the announcers want you to talk about, they were like, oh, Green Bay, oh, they're going to be there. The big winner of the weekend was Washington, because Washington lost to the Niners, and they're still in playoff contention. They didn't give up any ground. So they just, Washington has, they control their own destiny. They just got to win their last two games. And by the way, it's a home game against the Browns, and then it's a home game against the Cowboys in a game that might not matter at all to the Cowboys in Week 18. Washington would also clinch a playoff berth with a win, not only a win in each of its final two games, or one win and losses by Seattle, Green Bay, and Detroit. All right. So, scoreless game against the Niners, 8:47 left in the first quarter. Niners had a 4th-and-1 at the Washington 15. McCaffrey was stuffed. Commanders, that is, had 4th-and-goal at the 1, 9:37 left in the second quarter. Antonio Gibson was stopped after Brian Robinson was stopped on a 3rd-and-goal at the 1. The Niners then go 99 yards on 7 plays. Ray McCloud, 71 yards to the house, 7-0 Niners. But then after a Washington punt, Purdy, first play from scrimmage of the Niners' subsequent drive, picked off a deflection by Derek Forrest. Commanders go 31 yards on 8 plays, featuring a Curtis Samuel third down conversion, which he somehow held on to a pass off of Karam. It was capped by a Heinicke to Dotson 4-yard score. 22 seconds left in the half. We go to halftime, actually. 7-7. So half of this game, 7-7 between Washington and the Niners. And I had Washington here plus the points. But then it was a Niners cavalcade, down 14-7 now. Washington decides to go for it, 4th-and-1 at their own 34 with 5:46 left in the third quarter. Heinicke stuffed. 2 plays later, Purdy to Kittle for 33, 21-7 San Francisco. Washington comes right back, though. 4 plays, 75 yards to the incomparable Terry McLaurin for 51. That was the big play. Then to the incomparable McLaurin for 3 for the touchdown. 21-14 San Francisco. Back door still open. Down 24-14, 2nd-and-8 at their own 21, 14-11 left. Heinicke strip sacked by Nick Bosa. By the way, Nick Bosa killing my Micah Parsons Defensive Player of the Year ticket.
Well, I always thought Joey Bosa was better. Not anymore.
Oh, no. Recovered by Jordan Willis. Washington's defense holds, though, 27-14. Back door still open. But then the next drive, 2nd play, Heinicke picked by Jimmy Ward. That leads to another field goal, 30-14, San Francisco. And Carson Wentz, welcome back. And by the way, even those of us who love Heinicke recognize his limitations. And at this point, I was okay with Wentz coming back.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah,
okay.
I was okay at this point. Commanders go 82 yards and 11 plays with Wentz. Wentz to Samuel for 20, and all of a sudden it's 30-20. The two-point conversion fails, which for those of us who are trying to catch the 7.5, we're kind of happy with that the two-point conversion failed, because then that brings the field goal into play. Then the worst onside kick in history follows. Did you see this thing?
No.
Joey Sly for 3 yards. It leads the Niners deciding to go for it eventually on 4th-and-3 at the Washington 11 with 3:01 left. This is the play of the game where it would decide if the back door would be open or not. And Purdy goes to Kittle for 10 yards. I don't know how Kittle caught this ball on his leg, close to the ground. You just have to just tip your cap. Back door closed. McCaffrey in from 1 to make it 37-20. Heinicke ended up 13 of 18 for 166. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Did lose the fumble. Wentz, 12 of 16 for 123. 1 touchdown, no picks. He was not sacked. And so Ron Rivera, by the way, my guess is Washington -3. But Ron Rivera is going to have to decide, and he will decide tomorrow, Wentz or Heinicke. I would lay -500 that it's Wentz.
I think it's going to be Wentz. It almost has to be at this point. You're a little high. It's 2.5 everywhere. My numbers only came to 1.5, but I had to look and say, well, I really hate this Cleveland team. I never bothered hating them all these years. Yeah, I really didn't.
I never bothered hating them.
The Steelers beat them, almost every year, twice. But now, I mean, the signing Deshaun Watson to this contract
it's brutal.
Brutal. And I hope they never score two touchdowns in a game again while this guy's at quarterback. I mean, just a despicable human being. No matter what happened, you don't sign a guy like that to a contract like this, guaranteed $250 million. And I said last week on the show, I think these big quarterback contracts are bad for football. Well, this one is the worst for football. So I hope they never win another game. I really do.
Broncos are raising their hand right now.
Yeah. Have you heard about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, have you heard about our contract?
Anyway, I'm going to open 2.5. I think that's an okay start. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I really kind of like your number better a little bit, but I'm going to open 2.5.
Cardinals raising their hand too. Next.
Next up, we have the Jaguars versus the Texans.
So the 7-8 Jaguars, again, this game means nothing to the Jaguars. Only the Week 18 game against the Titans matters. At the Houston Texans, who get the win against the Titans, we talked about that game, they're 2-12-1, currently in the number one pick position for the NFL draft, but Chicago now only a half game behind that. Jacksonville, we talked about they beat the Jets on Thursday night. Doug Peterson did some weird stuff in that game. Including the refusal to milk the clock at the end. He almost got Trevor Lawrence killed. But what an improvement from the Urban Meyer year. And then Houston breaks their nine-game losing streak with that win against the Titans. Mills was 17 of 28 for 178, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. Houston was +2 in turnovers, another big Derrick Henry fumble. One of three Titans turnovers all in the fourth quarter. I will say this is tough to make, right, because Jacksonville has nothing to play for, so I only made it 4.5. Didn't really know what else to say.
Yeah, you're. It's a weird game. By the way, my numbers, without any of that crap, come to 6.5 Jacksonville. But, you know, like you said, there's no motivation there. Number opened 4.5, 5 last night. Money did show on Houston. Now it's coming back a little bit. I see 4.5s popping back up. So it went down to 4. It's back to 4.5. I'm going to open 4.5. I know there's no motivation. I think we'll have to see how Peterson plays it more so than the players themselves. I mentioned that earlier. But they're just they're good, and they're still kind of hungry. I mean, after last year, I could see, like, if I was a player for Jacksonville, I'd want to go out there and, you know, kick some butt every single week. So I'm going to open 4.5. That is a number that's out there, although it's mostly 4.
By the way, I bet Carolina immediately after we talked about that game.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay.
Bet them immediately. Let's do one more, Wyatt.
We got a rivalry matchup, old school rivalry matchup, the 49ers versus the Raiders.
Oh, it used to be the Battle of the Bay.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. The Niners have won 8 in a row. Do you know that the Bears and the Niners were both 3-4?
Wow.
The Niners are now 11-4, and the Bears are 3-11. That's amazing. San Francisco's won 8 in a row. They have allowed, during that 8-game span, 12.1 points per game. I am so glad to have those futures. Purdy, 15 of 22 for 234, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked 3 times. Part of my handicap was Purdy's due for a clunker. Well, it wasn't this week. Kittle, 6 for 120, two touchdowns. Iowa State-Iowa connection. 14 first downs, all San Francisco needed to win that game, 37 to 20. And then the Raiders, which we'll get to when we talk more about Pittsburgh, but Derek Carr in defeat was 16 of 30 for 174, one touchdown, 3 picks. He was sacked 3 times. The Raiders only ended up with 13 first downs. And here's the real stat. The Raiders had 201 total yards in this game. 72 of those 201 came on the very first drive of the game. And their second half performance against Pittsburgh, 3 punts, 3 picks. Is that good? -2 in turnovers.
I want to like Josh McDaniel, but, you know, a lot of that is...
Most overhyped coach ever.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is, just coaching adjustments during the course of the game, and he has not made good ones.
No, in his first 6 games, where he was 6-0, they found out he was cheating, too, right? Taping the other team's practices. I'll say San Francisco put in no man's land, -5.5. The Raiders still mathematically alive.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I made it 6. It's a blanket 6 everywhere. I'm going to open 6. I think 6 is a good number. By the way, I'm checking. As of now, no difference between Purdy and Garoppolo.
I can't argue with that. As a matter of fact, if we gave Kyle Shanahan truth serum right now, if we gave him truth serum and we said, Kyle, Mr. Shanahan, who would you rather have starting a playoff game right now? come on. He's got to say Purdy, right?
I got no difference. And by the way, I got three teams atop of my power ratings. Niners are one of them.
Oh, there's no question. Oh, they broke into your top three. Yeah.
Well, they're tied for my top one. We'll get to the other two top ones a little later.
Still got five games to get to, I believe, by my count. Much to do. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Such a poor effort. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Anders. It's Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. I'm tripping out. Oh, my father passed away 1 year ago today.
Oh, wow.
And I cannot believe it's been a year. I cannot believe
it. I didn't know your father,
it.
And I can't believe it's a year either. Time goes by very, very quickly.
It's amazing. I don't think of him every day, but it's just so trippy to me that it's been one entire year. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Really no artful way to transition from that. Just thought I'd share that thought. This is from... Oh, these are great. So Bill Hooker, will DraftKings be taking bets on the eggnog challenge? I'm going to think not. Chris Felica, by the way, we're talking about the Gardner Minshew thing. Like, you know, like he should be starting in so many teams. He said, like Minshew wouldn't be a massive upgrade for the Jets. That is also echoed by I Have No Blue Checkmark on Twitter, who said J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets when it came to Minshew.
What are you talking about? You know what Wilson's QBR was the other day? 5.1.
Michael White.
I don't. Yeah, we want Michael White.
Sean Guzik. DraftKings this morning, talking about the Panthers now, this morning around 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern, had Carolina +5.5. Are you serious? It says sits at 3 now. Missed that number. And this is from Jack Hannon. We haven't had a chance to talk about this because we're doing guessing lines. We will tomorrow, talking about Circa Survivor. But in case you missed it, and this is Jack Hannon's tweet. He says, does Mad Dog 2 not have to have gotten down, I think he what is what he meant, at least 100K on the Steelers on the money line Saturday night, knowing he had $6 million coming his way if the Steelers lost? Would Jimmy look at that as collateral? Who's Jimmy? And allow him to bet $3 million. Oh, Jimmy Vaccaro, I guess he means. And allow him to bet $3 million on the Steelers' money. So anyway, we'll go on that. Jack, I appreciate the tweet. We'll talk about this tomorrow, but there was a situation in Circa Survivor for $6.133 million. There were 14 people left going into Thursday and Saturday. And then remember, Christmas was its own week, Sunday and Monday. So it got to a position on Saturday where one guy had gotten through, Mad Dog 2, he had gotten through with the Vikings on the 61-yarder, and literally everybody else had gotten knocked out except for the night game where three people had the Steelers. So if the Steelers had lost, he won the entire pot. And so after he got in that position, so everybody on Twitter, oh my God, he's got to get down a million, he's got to get down. And my whole thing was like, I was like, Twitter is so funny. Like, when it's not you, the reality never sets in. Literally, this guy could have never anticipated of being in that situation. It was Christmas Eve, you know, on a Saturday. So he literally would have had 3 hours. Matt Brown and I were texting about this. Matt Brown was like, okay, I know a whole bunch of poker buddies. I can ask them to lend me money to make bets. But if you don't have that, or if you don't have cash lying around, he was kind of limited in what he could do. And he was a yard away from winning it all, a yard on a 4th-and-1. And Pickett maybe got the yard. They gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now this poor guy lost yesterday on the Dolphins. Two of the remaining three people had the Bucks last night. And so he was rooting for them to lose, and they got home. And so he has been eliminated. And I feel for the guy.
I hope he
got something down, but like to think that he got this massive amount of money down on it is just unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, you have a million sitting in your safe at home.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
it's just so funny. People are like, oh, he should be doing this, and he should be doing. Really, it's Christmas Eve. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, we got games to get to. What's next?
Next game here, we've got the Jets versus the Seahawks.
Okay, Jets go from 7-4 to 7-8, four straight losses, as Jets fans famously know. The Bengals clinched a playoff berth with that loss. And we went through with that loss, and we went through the whole Zach Wilson thing where he was like 7 of 13 for 78 yards of the first half. He eventually just, I mean, had to sit for Streveler. You had their whole playoff position on the line, and you sit your number two pick in the draft. That's how bad he was. And as Richard Sherman said afterwards, when Mike White beat up the Bears defense, everybody was like, hey, wait, but it's the Bears defense. Well, the Jags D sucks. 27th overall, Wilson couldn't do anything against him. Seattle's lost 5 of 6, talking about a team that has fallen on hard times. And basically, the only thing I'll say about that game against Kansas City, even though they only lost by 2 touchdowns, they failed on a fourth down at the KC 34. Colby Parkinson stood up, failed on a fourth down again when Laquon Treadwell failed to run his route, came up short of the first down markers. They failed to score at the Kansas City 22 when Smith overthrew Treadwell, was picked by Juan Thornhill in the end zone. Anyway, it was just whenever they needed it the most, they couldn't get it done. Geno ended up 25 of 40 for 215, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Kenneth Walker, 26 for 107. They held Kansas City to 14 first downs and outgained them 333 to 297. Out time of possession them by over 10 minutes. Didn't matter. I will say Seattle by a field goal here. The 7-8 Seahawks, who are a half game out of the NFC playoff picture, and the Jets, who are currently on the outside looking in, a game behind the Dolphins.
Who do you think is going to be quarterback?
For the Jets? Yeah. I don't know.
I got a 3-point differential here.
Between
Micah White and Wilson and Zach Wilson.
What about between Mike White and Streveler? Like, I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing.
I don't know. I mean, I'd put White and Streveler in the same. Wilson and Streveler in the same.
So you think if it's White that the spread will be?
I think if Mike White is a quarterback, I make the Jets a slight favorite, 1.5. But if it's Wilson, I make Seattle 1.5. That's, you know, I got a 3-point.
Oh, so you've got the Jets as a favorite if it's Mike White.
Yeah.
Oh, I would bet the Seahawks.
Okay. Well, it's pick 'em virtually everywhere.
I will take the Seahawks in this game. I have no faith in the Jets. Well, that's my second bet.
I don't have much faith in the Seahawks the way they've been playing lately either.
I don't either, but somehow I think they pull this one out.
Yeah, I'm an open pick. I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind if I see who's going to be the quarterback.
As we say, though, with most Jets games, the Jets defense will be the best unit on the field.
The Jets defense is great.
Yeah.
I think Seattle, we expected them to be horrible this year, and they're starting to get to that level.
Let's go next, Wyatt.
All right, next one, NFC North matchup. Kelly Bidlin's Vikings versus my Green Bay Packers.
Okay, this is afternoon game?
Correct.
Okay, this is a great game here. So now Minnesota's 12-3. They have 11 one-score wins this year, the most in NFL history. They are 11-0 in one-score games. Here's what's even more amazing. They're 12-3, and they have a +5 point differential. First of all, do you know there's only 4 teams in the NFC that have a positive point differential?
Is that right?
The Niners, Eagles, and Cowboys being the other 3. But the Vikings +5 at 12-3. Cousins, 34 of 48 for 299 in that win over the Giants. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. Jefferson, wow, is this kid great. 12 for 133 and a touchdown. Jefferson passes Randy Moss to set the single-season Vikings record for receiving yards with 1,723. Hit the 100-yard mark. Listen to this. He hit the 100-yard mark for the 24th time in his career. That's the most in NFL history through a player's first 4 seasons. Guess what? It's Jefferson's 3rd year.
Gil, he might be the best player in the league. The best player in the league.
He is.
I'm not sure he's not.
Prohibitive offensive player of the year favorite now. TJ Hockenson, career-high 13 catches for 109 and 2 touchdowns. By the way, the Lions giving up Hockenson to a division rival needs to be revisited.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That was weird, yeah.
We said it was bad at the time, but it is really bad. The Vikings were outgained 445 to 353 by the Giants. They were +2 in turnovers. And then there's Green Bay. We talked about them beating the Dolphins. But really, as you said, Chrissy, was it a Green Bay win or a Dolphins loss? Rodgers, 24 of 38 for 238, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. +3 in turnovers led to 9 Green Bay net points. But in reality, much worse because Miami was going in for a go-ahead score, and then they had the end-of-game pick. I have this as a pick'em. So now Minnesota's another team that I have chronically overrated in the market.
Yeah.
You're laughing. Boy,
I'm laughing because I'm looking at, like, the overnight lines. I saw it anywhere from between pick'em and 4.
Whoa.
Green Bay 4. My numbers come to 3. There was mostly 3.5 this morning, but it's now come to down to 3 with juice on the favorite. I'm going to open 3. They love these threes. Of course, it's the last 3 they're ever going to see in their life, you know, so they got to bet me that.
Sure.
Yeah, but I'm going to open 3, and, I'm sure they'll lay it to me. But this number has fluctuated all over the place, and I can see why. This is a crazy game. Are they playing great?
I don't think so.
They're winning. I don't know that they're playing great. But I could say the exact same thing about Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're winning. Are they playing great?
12-3 at plus 5, 11-0 in one score games. Wyatt, real quick, let's throw in one last one here.
We've got the Rams versus the Chargers.
Chargers haven't played. They play the Colts tonight. 4.5-point favorites. The Rams beat the Broncos 51-14. Baker Mayfield was 24 of 28 for 230. What a game. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He wasn't sacked. Akers, 23 for 118. 3 touchdowns, and again, plus 4 in turnovers. Sight unseen, I'll say the Chargers minus 7.
Oh, you're dead on. It's 7. My numbers come lower, 6. I don't know. They're betting against, I don't know what they're, you know, I'm an open 7. I don't know what the hell to think about the Rams right now. I really don't.
I like a few of these games so far. We'll get to that and our primetime games, including the Ravens and the Steelers flexed, and maybe the game of the week, definitely the game of the week, Bengals and Bills. Coming up, we go to Sunday night. What do we got, Wyatt?
Sunday night's going to be a good matchup. We've got the Steelers against the Ravens.
So they announced on Saturday that this would be the game that was flexed. Could have gone Minnesota-Green Bay. Could have gone Miami-New England. Could have gone Jets and Seattle even. They went Pittsburgh and Baltimore. The 7-8 Steelers. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season.
Don't get me started. I can't believe we lost to this Raider team a couple weeks ago, but go ahead.
And the 10-5 Baltimore Ravens, by the way, that game in Pittsburgh was 9 degrees. It felt like minus 7 in the Franco Harris Immaculate Reception tribute game. Really became a beautiful ceremony for the Steelers. Now passed away running back hero. 14-play, 72-yard, 8-minute, 22-second Raiders touchdown drive to start this one. Carter Renfro for 14, 7-0. Las Vegas, down 7-0, 4th-and-1 at the Raiders 30 for the Steelers. 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Pickett for 2 yards. That led to a Boswell field goal, 7-3 Raiders. Now the second half. Steelers are down 10-3. Pickett picked by Denzel Perryman before he got hurt. Carr then picked by Arthur Mollett on the next play. That led to a missed Boswell 52-yard field goal, which was curious that they went for that. Carr then picked by Minkah Fitzpatrick, which led to nothing. Teams traded punts, and then A.J. Cole shanked his. Steelers started at their own 45, 6 seconds into the fourth quarter. They kick a Boswell 40-yard field goal. It's 10-6 with 9:52 left. And a lot of people, when they kicked that field goal with 9:52 left, were like, what are they doing? Raiders punt, Steelers punt. Raiders punt, Steelers get the ball with 2:55 left at their own 24, down 10-6, and they start to matriculate down the field. 4th-and-1 at the Raiders 15, 55 seconds left. Again, the gentleman, we don't know if he's a gentleman, the person who had Mad Dog 2 and the Mad Dog 2 entry. If the Raiders make this stop, he wins $6.133 million. And as I mentioned, not only did they not make this stop and the Steelers win, but he ended up picking the Dolphins yesterday and is out in what is just a brutal turn of events. But Pickett got the 1 yard, although some really granular video later showed that he might not have. But they gave it to him. And the next play, Pickett to Pickens for 14. I know you love that combination. Pickett to Pickens for 14, touchdown, 13-10 Steelers, 46 seconds left, second play from scrimmage, Carr picked by Cameron Sutton, ball game. Steelers win it. Pickett, 26 of 39 for 244, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was not sacked. He was 7-9 for 75 and a touchdown on the game-winning drive. And again, as I mentioned, they held the Raiders to 13 first downs, 201 total yards, 72 of which came on the first drive of the game, and the Steelers were plus 2 in turnovers. And then there's Baltimore, who clinched their 10th playoff berth in 15 seasons under John Harbaugh. They can win the AFC North if they win out. Baltimore's defense has allowed more than 14 points in a game just once since the start of November. And on Saturday, they held the Falcons without a touchdown on 4 red zone trips. Huntley only completed 9 forward passes, 9 of 17 for 115 against the Falcons. 1 touchdown, no picks. He wasn't sacked. And a wide receiver had a receiving touchdown for the Ravens for the first time since week three.
Jeez.
DeMarcus Robinson to put the Ravens up 14-0 after the two-point conversion. I don't know how the Ravens have gotten to 10-5, but somehow they have.
Me neither.
I'll say a 3.5-point favorite over
your
Steelers.
Who's playing the quarterback?
Yeah.
Who's playing quarterback for the...
Yeah.
We don't know. Say, I agree with your number. I made it 3.5.
If it's Lamar Jackson. If it's Lamar Jackson.
If it's not. Huntley, by the way, stinks.
Just okay. Side note.
Just a side note.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
It's a 3-point differential for me. I mean, Huntley has played well in spots, but now you think these defensive coordinators aren't watching films and stuff like that? You know, yeah, he just does not have that much talent. That's why he was either undrafted or 6th or 7th round draft, whatever he was. And right now the number's telling me they expect Lamar Jackson to play. And I just looked it up. He's questionable. So 3.5's okay. I'm going to open it 3.5 because I think that's the right number if it is Lamar Jackson. But if it's not, this number has to be like 1 or maybe even pick.
Can we call the audible and do the pro tip right here? Because this is apropos.
Of course.
We in the first hour, we said, you know, you got to know the motivations of these teams. In other words, the Jaguars and the Titans, for instance, have nothing to play for in their respective games this year. Well, this hour, and this sounds very basic, and it is, but I mean, have we had a week like this year where we have not known in as many games who's playing quarterback? Much like motivation in the first hour, you need to know who's playing quarterback in these games. Maybe the Mike White to Zach Wilson decision for the Jets is the biggest one because the line can be so different from quarterback to quarterback. And at this time of year, I don't know how you can bet some of these without knowing it for sure. Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley being a great example of that as well.
I just looked up his QBR was 16.4, Huntley. He's not very good. He's not a good quarterback.
All your pro tips searchable at VSiN.com for VSiN Pro subscribers. Only 20 a day, at least 20 a day, one every hour on the network. Which brings us to Monday night.
Ooh. This has to be the best Monday night game of the year. Bills versus Bengals.
Now, this could be the game of the year.
The 12-3 Buffalo Bills, after having beaten the Bears, and the 11-4 Bengals, after crushing the Patriots, then somehow gacking the game away, and then somehow winning it. Buffalo clinched the AFC East with their 6th straight win. Josh Allen, that is, 15 of 26 for 172 in that game against the Bears. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked once, 6 carries for 41 yards and a touchdown. By the way, Josh Allen, we talked about Justin Jefferson and how amazing his numbers are. Josh Allen broke a tie with Dan Marino for the most touchdowns in a player's first 5 NFL seasons. And we all remember how Marino came out of the box.
Yeah, listen, I think Josh Allen is great, but boy, I'd love to see Danny Marino in this league right
now.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine? With all the rules favoring the offense.
Oh, my.
Devin Singletary, 12 for 106 and a touchdown in the game against the Bears. They held the Bears. The Bills did to 11 first downs, 2 of 12 on third down, 1 of 4 on fourth, and outgained Chicago 426 to 209 in a game that was somehow close for a very long time. Okay, and then the Bengals. The Bengals won their 7th straight with that amazing win over the Patriots, and by amazing, I mean complete roller coaster, where they dominated and somehow almost lost outright. Now, here's the thing with the Bengals. They can clinch the AFC North with a win and a Ravens loss, or with a Week 18 win against Baltimore. But here's the part that I'm not sure people are aware of. The Bengals are still alive for the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
They would be the number one seed in the AFC with wins in their final 2 games, including this one against Buffalo, and 1 Chiefs loss. Burrow was 40 of 52 against the Patriots for 375. 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked twice. Higgins, 8 for 128, a touchdown. They held the Pats to 15 first downs. They outgained New England 442 to 285. They out time of possession them by more than 13 minutes, actually 13 and a half minutes. And they were minus 2 in turnovers and overcame it. Cincinnati by 1.5?
Exactly my number, Cincy 1.5. Right now it's Buffalo 1 virtually everywhere.
Give me the Bengals.
I'm going to open pick. And if they bet me Buffalo, and if I go in needing Cincy, so be it. By the way, I was texting a bunch of my Pittsburgh friends over the weekend. And this is like while Cincy was looking like they were going to win by a million. I said, boys, get used to this because we got about a decade of Joe Burrow. Is he the best? You know, I can't say he's the best yet, but he's got to be right there, boy. I'll tell you. And they got some talent on that team. You know, they beefed up their offensive line, which really took a while to kind of come together. But right now they're playing some pretty good football. But, you know, I didn't like what's the coach, Zach Taylor.
I didn't like him. Yeah.
But he's gotten better. He's improved. So this team's going to be around a while. But I like them in this spot. I don't love them. I made it 1.5. But if I go in needing Cincy, that's fine.
There's a lot of games I like here. Now, there's a few games that are unplayable. But I already bet Carolina based on that number against mm-hmm. Tampa Bay.
You took three?
I took the three. Yeah. I'll even maybe make another by 3.5. I like Cincinnati because I think the wrong team's favored. I'll have to see on the White versus Wilson thing with the Jets, but yeah. I kind of lean Seattle. Minnesota, I mean, I think, again, they're getting a little disrespected. But if you're giving me three, is it 3.5? Are you saying in some spots?
Not anymore.
Okay, but I'll take
three.
But
it's three even money.
I'll take the three. And then I kind of like Washington. Like, there's a bunch. How about you?
Well, I like the Rams getting 7. Oh, I mean, 7's a lot of points in the NFL.
Yeah.
I like the Bengals. I like Carolina myself. And I'll have to look at the rest of the menu. But those kind of jump out at me. And by the way, the Eagles, I said I made the number 7. It opened 6.5 everywhere. It's 7 now everywhere. That is going to be what I'm opening the game. 7.
It only gets more interesting from here. Good luck with the game tonight as well. If you're betting that pre-flop, the Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.